Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Time now for your lunchtime doctor, your favorite doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed. She's here and ready to answer all your medical questions. Hello, Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon, Bees, and good afternoon to all those tuned in. As usual, you all know the rapper. Call in, send your messages. Here's where we dissect those medical challenges. We highlight the red flags and we help you move to solving, resolving these concerns. Some might be life-threatening. Some might be things you can indeed manage at home. We offer solutions that you can start right away. But the only way that can happen is if you share to us what's these concerns. Share to us as well what is on your lunchtime plate, so we know what health habits you are learning from this program and how it's improving the life, your health, and the life of those, your loved ones. Right, over to you, Bees, to share the numbers.
And our numbers are 627-3223-625-2257. We welcome all of our, you know, first-time callers and listeners for today's program. Also, WhatsApp's 3061065. And, of course, Lunchtime Doctor is being heard right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sangeet 106.1 FM. Feel free to message our other frequencies, and they will forward your questions right to us.
So today is also World Lupus Day. So we're going to chat a little bit about lupus, this autoimmune disease that presents in a very mysterious way. In fact, diagnosis sometimes can take up to a year. But there are many persons right here in Trinidad and Tobago that unfortunately suffer the sequelae of lupus. So we're going to chat a little bit about lupus, how it presents in males versus females, and what you can do to ease on these symptoms.
All right, folks, once again, our numbers are 627-3223-625-2257 and 3061065 on your WhatsApp. Just last week in when we were doing the diabetes and you program, there was a discussion of lupus and diabetes. No, lupus.
Definitely. And that's quite a complicated scenario where there's a non-communicable disease and an autoimmune disease. So it is one that we need to chat about and one that we will bring to the forefront.
All right. What exactly are some of the symptoms of lupus?
So with lupus, let's first of all understand what this disease is. It's a disease when the body immune system literally starts to attack the organs, and that's what we call an autoimmune disease. So the body's immune system can attack the joints, so then you have symptoms related to the joint, as in joint pain, arthritis. You can have swellings of the joint. It can attack the skin, so there are changes in the skin. It can attack the kidneys. There can be renal dysfunction. It can attack the brain, heart, lungs, even the blood cells. So it can affect the platelets, reduce your platelet count. So imagine if one is unfortunately troubled by lupus, and then lifestyle habits lead to the development of diabetes. It can become quite complex. So that's why these symptoms, now let me just put this into context. No two cases of lupus are exactly alike. The signs and symptoms may develop suddenly or slowly. Some may be very severe and need hospitalization right away. Some may be characterized as mild disease. The typical symptom we see is this lupus facial rash. It actually looks like a red butterfly over the nasal bridge and then the cheeks just under the eyes. So that's why it's called butterfly rash. But one may present with shortness of breath, chest pains, dry eyes, headache, fever, joint pain, fatigue, very non-specific symptoms. And that's why it's so important that when one presents with these type of symptoms, we don't take it lightly. Lupus, and this is so important, can even be triggered by certain medications. So it can be triggered by anti-seizure medications. It can be triggered by antibiotics. So there's something called a drug-induced lupus. And this is why we need to know a little bit more about it. During the course of the program, we'll also talk about the risk factors and then move into what are the treatment protocols.
Okay, let's get some calls coming in. Welcome our first caller to the Lunchtime Doctor today. Hello?
Good afternoon to all. Dr. Mohammed, I am 79 plus of age, and I tested my blood pressure this morning, and the reading was 145 over 66 and 64. Would you say this is good for me?
Thank you so much. I didn't quite hear the first value, 145 or 155?
No, 145. 145 over 66, 64 pounds.
Right, and that's your blood pressure value you're seeing?
Yes, that's right.
Sorry
to talk over you, but I'm on no medication so far, thank God.
Okay, that's a very important fact that you shared. Thank you for sharing it. Now, for those who listen, we do know that the blood pressure value is two values, the systolic and the diastolic. 120 on 80 tends to be that textbook value. We'll even accept 110 on 70, or it can go a little bit higher, 125 on 85. But anything, that top value of over 130, and in your case, my dear, it's 145, is something I will be concerned about. You shared you're not on any medications at present, and that's good to know. So here's what we need to do. 145 is a considered elevated. It can affect your kidneys, it can affect your eyes, it can affect the peripheral vessels. And this is why we need to bring that down. One, right away today, you can start with just watching what you're eating, cutting down on your salt. In the next couple of weeks, make sure you schedule an appointment with your healthcare professional. Make sure you get checked, not just your blood count, which is your complete blood count, but we want to look at the renal function tests. We want to look at the creatinine in particular. And last but not least, we can adjust some of the lifestyle measures, see if we need to include some exercise, look at some measures to manage stress, watch your sleeping habits, and start low-grade medications to bring down that systolic. I've had patients where that 145 goes up very quickly, and it can even hit stroke value. So let's make sure we get this under control.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you there very much, caller. Let's get another call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hi, good afternoon, Bass. Good afternoon to the doctor. Doc, is it possible that two persons could present with the same symptoms but a different cause? And if not, the doctor not aware of it, he could misdiagnose, thinking one for the other? Thank you.
So in order for me to give an opinion on that, I definitely will need some more information. That's quite vague what you shared, but we do know that there are non-specific symptoms, like we just mentioned it. Let's say feeling fatigued, feeling tired. That could be from hypothyroidism to heart failure to just what we mentioned, lupus, an autoimmune disease. So yes, you can have one symptom with multiple different pathologies. And that's why when we see each patient, we go through what their symptoms are. We go through what their that history, the family history, the risk factors, the past medical history. In fact, it's almost like an interview that we go through. And just as I said, no two cases in medicine at all are ever the same. So I do hope if one has had some sort of misinterpretation that you seek a second opinion. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's get some WhatsApp messages. Good afternoon, doctor. I'm a 43-year-old female who's attempting to get pregnant. I had a myomectomy in 2017. I have recently, within the past 6 months, been diagnosed with stones in both kidneys. And at my last gyno visit about 5 months ago, I was informed there has been the reoccurrence of fibroids. Is pregnancy possible given my current medical situation? If so, what do I need to do to increase my chances of getting pregnant?
Now, that is indeed, I feel that pain. It's a complicated case. I want to ensure that you know there are solutions. We're going to dissect that. So you would have already had a myomectomy. And a myomectomy means they have removed the smaller fibroids. Once there is fibroids within the reproductive system, if it's implanted on the endometrium, what happens, the body may feel there's a false implantation and it may think there's a false pregnancy. That is what a fibroid can do and can unfortunately lead to either primary infertility or secondary infertility. So here's how we go about reaching to achieving a pregnancy. We definitely need to get the fibroids under control. If it is at your next appointment, you have that very open conversation. Sometimes it can be difficult, but it's important that we set things in place to know where are the other fibroids. Are you moving towards removing them? Is it safe? Because sometimes a fibroid can be very large and the surgery can be complicated and we may need to optimize the person's health. Sometimes a fibroid may lead to menorrhagia, high blood loss, where the blood count goes lower, but there's a high loss of blood. And we may need to optimize before doing surgery because there's anemia present. So we deal with the fibroid first, we deal with the hormonal imbalances, and then get the body ready for pregnancy. Yes, there can still be a pregnancy, but I don't know all of the factors in front of me to be able to give that diagnosis. Your obstetrician will definitely be able to guide better. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's take a call. Once again, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM and Sky 99.5. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome. Hello, good afternoon. Hello. All right, we lost that one there. Let's check line two. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, my virgin beast.
Yeah, man.
And to the doctor, assalamu alaikum. Doc, what are the relationship between and being inflammatory, as they say, and acid reflux? Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller, for that very important question. Now, when we talk about an inflammatory disease, it can be any part of the body producing an inflammatory response. What does that mean? The cells of the body is either in direct, it's almost like it's in war. So your white blood cells are then produced in a high amount to be able to fight off if it's pathogens that are from the outside environment or internal pathogens. Acid reflux, however, is a completely different case. Acid reflux is now a different pathology where the esophageal lining is directly affected by the acid within the stomach. So at the base of the esophagus, there are what we call either the valves or the stents that allow the openings that block off the stomach from that fluid from the stomach from coming upwards. If there's any sort of weakness, if there's ulceration, then that stomach acid can now come into the esophagus. And that is where we call acid reflux. So two different pathologies. If there's a gastritis, which is the inflamed stomach, it can certainly lead to exacerbated acid reflux. If there's an inflamed esophagus, that could also lead to an acid reflux. Hope I put some perspective into there and hope it makes sense to you.
All right, thank you there, Doc. Hello, good afternoon.
This boy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Doc, what's up? What's up? It's a swap meet in the human body. I will be able to discuss in the human body over the weekend. I love to ask a God of doctors here. And you know, when a child born is about 1 foot in length, and I'll be killing her. And then after a few years, become 5-6 feet long skeleton, gets so big, is a major old skeleton now, hold up the human body. It's so amazing when I think about this thing again. I tell you that it really is amazing. So I have a question. I just call to say, I like how God created the human body. Have a blessed one.
Thank you so very much. You know, what you said there is very correct. The human body is indeed an amazing thing, and we must treat it. You know the statement, your body is your temple, your body is your mosque, your body is your sacred place. So let's make sure we treat it with the reverence it deserves.
Well said, well said. Good day, doctor. What can you use, what can cause, sorry, swollen ankles besides kidney problems?
Excellent question. Thank you so much for sending in. Now, anytime there's fluid accumulating at the ankles, meaning there's some sort of peripheral vascular disorder. Trainees like to talk about circulation disease. That may just mean your blood pressures are elevated, or just as we talked about the valves within the veins have become weakened. The blood pressure circulating throughout the body is too high and leading to damage on the valves. The cholesterol, the plaque, all of that can now damage the walls of your veins and your arteries. Again, leading to constriction or stenosis of the arteries and your veins. So at the ankles, it pools this extra fluid. Managing your blood pressure, managing your cholesterol, managing your weight is so critical when it comes to these swollen ankles. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, all right, folks, 627-3223-625-2257. And of course, remember your WhatsApp message is 306-1065. Another question about kidney stones. Good day, doc. I had kidney stones and I find my urine gives off a stale urine scent. What can I use for this?
Thank you so much. Now, kidney stones is one that we certainly need to treat aggressively. One may already be engaged in some of the medication for the kidney stone removal. A urologist will guide. Yes, you will see changes in the way, not just the way the urine has the odor to it, but you'll see changes in the color. You may even see more frothiness, and that's because of the proteins that are expressed in the urine. What can you do? Definitely follow through the treatments. You may need to engage in surgical treatments, so that is shockwave lithotripsy. Or even before that, we may want to do a cystoscopy, which is where we put a tube in to the bladder. We identify where these kidney stones are, and it can even be broken down from that point. Keep in mind, hydration is so important. I cannot overemphasize this. To help prevent or to help minimize your future kidney stones, you want to ensure what your diet is particular, as in you want to remove some of those foods that have high cysteine, because all of that lead to kidney stones. What are some of those foods that have high cysteine? Those processed foods. You want to also look at, and this is one that we often have to tell our patients, that citrus drinks, especially your grapefruit juice, they can have a high amount of citrate. So that's one of the things that normally we recommend for a healthy lifestyle. But in this case, we want to ease off some of the citrus drinks. Again, hydration. Drinking enough liquids will help keep the urine diluted and flush away some of that extra minerals that might form these stones. Coconut water is a blessing. You can utilize that, cranberry juice even, but keep in mind you want to minimize the acid content. Hope that answers the question.
All right, good afternoon, doctor. Can you say what is the best medication for low blood count?
So yes, there are several things that we do for a low blood count. We place all of our patients on a ferrous sulfate, so iron sulfate medication or a hematinic. Keep in mind, if you do have a low blood count and you're placed on an iron tablet or iron supplementation, you do need vitamin C within the gut, within the particular part of the gut called the ileum. That is where iron is absorbed. However, it needs the vitamin C component. And if there isn't the vitamin C to absorb it, then that iron will pass out into the gut, through the gut, into your stool. So in taking the medications, keep in mind not only the iron sulfate, but take your vitamin C. However, you can get a good source of iron from your green leafy vegetables, broccoli, that backyard pak choy, spinach, even chana, almonds, salmon, high concentration of iron. Hope that answers the question.
Another kidney question here. How do you treat with kidney cysts?
So with kidney cysts, there's a few kinds. There's your polycystic kidneys, similar to what we have with polycystic ovaries. And of course, within the kidneys themselves, there's a granular cystitis that can develop in the kidneys. So it depends on which one, of course. We must have a proper ultrasound of the kidneys so we know exactly what pathology we're dealing with. Most times than not, we palliate around the symptoms. So we manage if one has high blood pressure, if the kidney is being affected in terms of the glomerular filtration rate, if the creatinine is being affected. Sometimes we may need to resort to surgery. Keep in mind, we always go through the typical management plan. That is, treat prophylactically, as in looking at the medications, help you adjust your lifestyle measures. And then last but not least is when we go to surgery. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, once again, 627-3223, 625-2257. Send your WhatsApp messages to 3061065. And if you're listening to all the frequencies, send your messages there and they will reach to us. Hello, good afternoon.
If one day you notice the pressure is 180 over 102, can you double up any medication, Dr. Gary?
So that is very high indeed. 180 on 102 is sustained, elevated, severely elevated high blood pressure. I will not suggest that you at home change or alter your medications because I don't know which ones they are. That information should be guided by the healthcare professional. If it is, it's prescribed in the health center, please go right away, because 180 on 102 is a stroke value. And when I say stroke, we've seen patients at that value develop not just a stroke, but it can also lead to a heart attack. It can lead to clots in their lungs. It can lead to clots in their legs, their thighs, causing deep vein thrombosis. All of that can compromise your life. So please do just try to medicate at home. Take the next step. Go to the health center, go to the ER, or go to your private doctor and let the next steps be guided by the healthcare professional.
All right, but just for the conversation, Doc, let's say you do have an elevated, of course, a high blood pressure, and you are given medication. Should you also watch your diet as well? I mean, it's not only up to the medication to do what it needs to do.
Of course, that is crucial. We always talk about lifestyle, because I think I mentioned it right here when the patient talked about the 10-11 tablets. We could be taking all that medication and sabotaging the medication if our diet is poor. Diet is like crucial. It's the say for any tree, you have your roots. If your roots are not well nourished, all the leaves, you can paint it green, you can color it however you want, it will fall off. That is what diet is to the human body. So it's the root of all treatment and good health.
All right. 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's take a call. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon. Could the doctor explain to me a little more about polycystic kidney? I had that before a time, and I find it strange. The doctor said, well, she did the course, but it is the first time she come across it in Trinidad. It's an Indian doctor, but over the period of time now, I have to use like parsley to help, but every now and again, like every 6 months ago, I may get a little pain. I want to drink the parsley water for whatever week it goes. So I don't know what you could explain a little more on that, so that it could more or less try to ease the situation I'm having now and again. I'll listen off there. Thank you.
Yes. So that is something that happens. Just like we have polycystic ovaries, we can have the polycystic kidney disease. That tends to be a genetic in nature. It happens where there are clusters, so numerous cysts all across the kidneys. Keep in mind, however, polycystic kidneys are not typically cancerous, but they can contain large amounts of fluid, and that fluid not only damages the kidneys, but it can become infected. Persons, unfortunately, can present with a lot of back pain. They may even see blood in the urine. They may have high blood pressure. They may have, as the person mentioned, kidney stones, or even lead to that creatinine elevation and where there is kidney failure. And that's why it's crucially important, once that ultrasound is done, you keep monitoring, especially looking at the evolution of how many cysts are presenting, and of course looking at the creatinine, because this polycystic kidney can affect the ability of the kidneys. And remember, your kidneys is like your toxic removal plant. You need to remove all the extra urea, all the extra minerals that have been deposited. If the kidneys is not able to do this, then it stores within the body, and one may even lead to dialysis. So most of our polycystic kidney patients, we do need to not only do surgery, but possibly dialysis to help relieve some of those symptoms. We also keep in mind that they can present with very, very high blood pressures. And when I say high, it can be stroke levels high, where it can lead to an aneurysm in the brain. For males, those are some of the common complications. In females, it can even affect pregnancy. What is one supposed to do in terms of treatment? Like I shared, we need you to be consistent with your follow-up, consistent with keeping the blood pressure low, consistent with keeping the ultrasound and the creatinine, the blood value of the creatinine, so we know when or where, how we can prevent needing dialysis. Hope that answers your question.
Hello, good afternoon. Lunchtime, doctor.
Hi, good afternoon. I previously fell from a height, and I had broken disc, and I had surgery and so on. But after the surgery was successful, I am presently walking, but I'm walking, I lose my balance. I'm walking like a total drunk person. What can I do to gain my balance?
So anytime there is problems with balance, it can be something with the air canal. The fluid in the air also directly affects one's balance. Keep that in mind. If you also, you said you're walking like a drunk person, so your gait is affected. Let's make sure there isn't any brain involvement, any sort of cerebral involvement, and ensure that if there is, we ensure that the medications are on par for that treatment. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's take care of some WhatsApp questions here. Hi, Doc, my husband had swelling on his ankles. Doctors had him on Lasix, but what caused it was a 10-pound tumor in the abdomen. So swelling of the ankles can also be due to this.
Definitely. Anything that increases or affects the blood circulation, the abdominal pressure, keep that in mind.
Also, hi, doctor. If a child is on Tegretol and has ADHD, what meds can be used to help him focus for longer and less hyperactivity?
Okay, so that is getting a little technical here. Yes, there are medications, but before we prescribe those medications, especially for ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, we engage any patient, be it child or adult, on a series of behavioral questions, even anxiety, and of course we go into cognitive behavioral therapy before we engage that mixing of medications for ADHD. In fact, most of the mental health advocates are leaning towards more cognitive behavioral therapy for ADHD, especially if one is already on Tegretol. So have that conversation if it's a child with a pediatrician, because we need to do proper developmental assessments. And if it's an adult, and yes, you can have adult ADHD, there are mental health care professionals that will continue to give that care. Hope that answers the question.
All right, just love to mention here that Freedom 106.5 FM will join Parliament at 1:30 p.m. for live coverage of the mid-year review by Minister of Finance Colum Imber. That's a live coverage of the mid-year review at 1:30 p.m. right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Then at 7:30 p.m. later, CNC3 and Freedom will bring you the mid-year budget review show live. So join us then. Right now you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. All right. Hi, Doctor. I get a pain on the left side of my abdomen and the left side of my groin. Can it be hernia?
The first time you said left groin, that's the first thing that came to mind. Of course, I'd need to examine to be able to come to that conclusion. Pain in the left side of the abdomen can also be gut related. There is the large intestine fitting within that corner. It may be some sort of inflammatory disorder. We've seen patients present with a host of concerns, but because the pain is moving to the left inguinal area, it most likely can be a hernia. Here's what I want you to find out or pay attention to. When you're having a bowel action, are you feeling any increased pain, or when you have to bear down, so you have to lift something heavy, are you feeling an increased pull or pain? Those are some of the key questions that we would ask, but I want you to move it one step further and get it checked out.
All right, folks, Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, Sangi 106.1, and Sky 99.5. We go to the phone lines. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Doc, sometimes you have a medical problem and they tell you in the hospital that you have to get a certain blood and blood type. Does your blood type determine your health and what you have to eat and drink in order to live a certain amount of years? Because they say, as on a medical term, we eat and drink all kind of thing which is not good for us. So does your blood determine that? Thank you.
Very important question. There are a number of misleading persons. They're not qualified healthcare professionals, and they purport or they share misleading information about blood type. In fact, I've come across one that had a whole diet plan based on your blood type. None of that is factual or evidence-based. So no. If I am blood type O positive and you are B positive, it does not put me at any increased risk of high blood pressure, any lifestyle disease, or any other pathology. All the blood type says is what that type of blood, if I need a blood transfusion. So if my blood count becomes lower, then that is the blood type that's necessary. The blood type is not or does not increase one's risk for high blood pressure, for diabetes, for any sort of lifestyle disease. So that's one thing that I would like to reassure all of our listeners on.
All right. I just found out I got fibroids. Not sure how big it is, but what can I do to reduce it or remove the womb is the best option, or is removing the womb the best option?
So typically, based on the size of the fibroid, how much it's affecting your quality of life, where the fibroid is located, and of course, where you are on your reproductive journey. So you see, you've already had children, you're close to menopause, then the very next steps, the advice tends to be removing of the womb. So we call that a total abdominal hysterectomy. It's very safe. It's been performed hundreds and thousands of patients by the gynecologists, and they perform it in the public health institutions and privately. Of course, that information must be after an analysis, must be after the assessment by your healthcare professional. And in this case, a gynecologist, not your GP, not a family physician. It must be a specialized person who will perform that surgery. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to the panel. What I want to find out from the doctor, if a man removes his prostate, if he can still have children. Thank you.
So yes, you can still have children if the prostate gland is removed, because what the prostate gland does, while it contributes to the semen, it does not affect the sperm itself. So yes, one can. However, again, be guided by the urologist, because there are different methods in terms of different supportive measures after one has had a removal of the prostate gland.
Let's take another call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Calling from Pinal. Doc, I tend to lean towards things that I can do myself. Unfortunately, I'm in that position. But from time to time, from test to test over the years, I've found that my cholesterol might run a little bit up and over 200. And, you know, I would like to know what I could do in terms of my diet and maybe supplements. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to take the statin drugs and so on, because even though it's just a small percentage, I'm just one person, and that could be me. I don't want to take the risk involved, right? So if there's anything I could do in terms of diet, well, I exercise, you know, and maybe supplements, and so receive that advice. Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller. So yes, there are things you can do, but I want to know, okay, so next year will be 20 years I'm in medicine. We've been prescribing the statins over the years, and really, have we ever seen side effects? I doubt you're going to be that 1%. Keep in mind, you could get that same side effects with even the other supplements that you may request as well. Statins will simply just help reduce the cholesterol at a faster rate, in addition to you doing your lifestyle measures. But for all those who would like to lean on your lifestyle measures, yes, you certainly can control your cholesterol levels just by lifestyle measures. But you must be consistent and aggressive. 1, moderate levels of exercise, aerobic type exercise. And when I say aerobic, you want to be able to get your heart rate in the calorie burning time frame or heart rate. And there is, and you can be guided by your physical trainer. There's a particular formula. We use the at rate, your at rest heart rate, and then we put it in your age and of course the amount of pounds you want to lose, and give you what that aerobic heart rate will be. You want to literally get the heart rate in a time where you're sweating and burning fat, adipose tissue, burning calories, burning to reduce that cholesterol. 2, moderate level exercise, or even weight building exercise or resistance building exercise, can also increase your HDL. We've talked about that right here on the program. And last but not least, diet. Nutrition is crucially important. You want to stay away from your salt. You want to stay away from the high amount of saturated fats, processed foods. You want to introduce as natural as possible, say, your green leafy vegetables, your fruits and vegetables, that not only increase your fiber but also maintain the cardiovascular system. Next week is World Hypertension Day, and we have a special article just on good nutrition to maintain one's heart. So stay tuned to the program. Stay locked in, and next week in your Health Plus magazine, you will have more information.
All right, doctors, get some questions. We're 13 minutes away from 1 o'clock. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Blood pressure approximately 140 over 95. Last 2 weeks, should I change my medicine?
So 140 or 95 is mildly elevated. you can, it can predispose you to other symptoms. We need to get that checked in. I wouldn't say a suggestion of reducing your medication, sorry, changing your medication just yet, because I don't know when was it started. If it was started in, say, the last month, you need to give it a little time to work into the system. But we also need to watch what our lifestyle habits are, because we can't be sabotaging the medication if we're not eating and, of course, exercising right.
All right. Good afternoon, doctor. My mom is 86 years old. She was not eating well. The doctor at the health center gave her vitamin B complex. She's eating better now, still giving her the vitamins. So do I need to stop now? It's been 5 months now that I'm not giving it to her every day.
So at 86 years old, that is one of the age groups that we consider high risk. Their intake of their typical daily calories is usually lower than usual, and they are at high risk for micronutrient deficiencies, particularly the vitamin B. And one of the vitamin Bs is thiamine, and those can lead to that numbness, those problems with cognitive impairment. So I would definitely continue it, just to ensure the concentration of your vitamin B remains at equilibrium in the patient. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Somebody sent a message here. All right. Hi, doctor. Can you speak about lichen planus?
Lichen planus.
Lichen planus. Okay. And I didn't want to say something else. Lichen planus. Okay. And its causes, what its causes, and the use of Cetaphil products, right?
Cetaphil. Okay, sure.
And
yes.
Steroid cream. So, right, okay. Yeah.
Right, yes, steroid creams. Okay, so lichen planus. Well done, Base. You pronounced it well. It is a condition of the skin. It can also present at the hair, present in your nails, present in the mouth. It can even present close to the genitals. One may notice this type of patchy appearance. It looks like a flat, bumpy, patchy area. It can be hyperpigmented, that is darkened, or you can see white patches around it with painful sores. Yes, it can be quite debilitated. What we typically, in terms of treatment, you must, first and foremost, you must see your healthcare professional for it. We may want to treat not just a dermatological condition, but some of the additional symptoms like the itchiness, the painful sores. One may even have hair loss if lichen planus is on the skin, on the scalp area. You may also, around the groin, you want to ensure proper genital hygiene. It's so important that if there is any sort of hepatitis, because hepatitis C, that hepatitis C infection can lead directly to lichen planus. So you must ensure that there isn't any sort of risk for Hep C. One may get that if you're using needles, if you're taking medications, that sharing needles, or if you're abusing drugs. So that's why it's so important that we address lichen planus, you see a dermatologist, and you move forward with your treatment.
All right. Once again, folks, don't forget Freedom 106.5 will join Parliament at 1:30 p.m. for the live coverage of the mid-year review by the Minister of Finance, Colum Imber. That's a live coverage of the mid-year review at 1:30 p.m. right here on Freedom 106.5. Then at 7:30 p.m., CNC3 and Freedom will be bringing you the mid-year budget review show. So join us live. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Let's take this call. Hello. Oh, we lost that one. Of course, 627-3223, 625-2257, and your WhatsApp messages at 306-1065. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Someone said that they have been using alkaline water for gout and they don't have to take any medication or no pain or swelling again.
A thank you so much. Now, we do have enough research to support the use of the alkaline water for gout. Sometimes one may need even a steroid treatment for gout. Again, let the rheumatologist guide that. I will not be one that will support just using the alkaline water. Use it integrated, sure. But when it comes to gout and how painful gout can be, you will be supported by the medications recommended by the rheumatologist.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm 50 years of age. I've been having some problem like wrist pain, joint pains, waist, lower waist, back pain, and loss of hair. What could I do? Thank you.
All right. Anytime one is experiencing that level of pain, it needs to get checked out. It will get worse. It could be a spinal stenosis. It could be something even more sinister. So we need to get it checked out and, of course, start treatment right away. Sometimes it could be as simple as physiotherapy, stretches, and, of course, your pain medication to help reduce that level of pain. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Good day, doctor. I have a good PSA reading value of 0.3. Should I still have a digital prostate examination to determine the size? Also, can vitamin B vitamins capsules be taken daily? And if yes, for how long?
So a PSA value of 3, yes, that is normal. If you do, however, have a history or family history of prostate cancer, BPH, any sort of prostatic dysfunction, please, we need to repeat it. Whether you need to do the DRE, most times than not, what we can pick up in the DRE, we may not pick up with the PSA value. Again, let the healthcare professional who will look at all of the facts be able to make that decision. With respect to the vitamin B tablet, depending on what you're eating, what your diet is like, you may not need to take it every single day once you are indeed having a nutritious, healthy, balanced meal.
Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Doctor, I was keeping this on the next well, the cow radio. You know, it's something is true, right? I know cancer, but I like study for 20 and 30 years. What's that medicine? Then I see it over the lab, they get male food, right? It's a 20, 30 years, and then inject it or something with the woman, and she gets pregnant. Is that medicine? Can you explain that first question?
I didn't quite get the question. Was it just the feedback?
Well, it was something amazing of the I think the reproduction. You know this guy.
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
reproduction, yes. Amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Let's get back. Thank you so much for the feedback.
Yeah, I've got another question. I was given Paxil by my psychiatrist to treat depression. Used during the day. I don't like tablets, but need to feel like myself again. Can you help? Thank you.
So Paxil is one of those medications that tend to help balance the body's serotonin values. And serotonin is one of those neurochemicals released in the brain and can help either enhance mood and reduce anxiety. Yes, it can also manage depression. There are a couple other things, so stay consistent with it, because if you've been diagnosed that the Paxil serotonin levels are lower, then that's what's necessary. But there are other things that we can do on a daily basis to increase these happy chemicals or neurochemicals, serotonin in particular. Believe me, just a walk out in nature increases your serotonin value. Having some sort of community feel where you may get together with friends and, of course, engaging in healthy habits, not getting together to drink, that will increase your serotonin value. And of course, there's certain meals that can increase your serotonin, things like seafood, things like those dark green leafy vegetables. All of that can increase your serotonin value. That is the chemical that maintains these messages through the brain and has a significant play on mood and happiness. Hope that answers your question.
All right, 3 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Let's see how many questions we could slip in there. I'm a diabetic and with bruises, and bruises heal with a black mark. What can I use to erase it or help lighten them?
Okay, so your bruises tend to have a hyperpigmented mark that remains on the skin. What we'd want to first and foremost find out is if there's a lower platelet value that's leading to these bruises. Diabetics, this is not a typical symptom of your diabetics, so it's one that we want to understand the why. What can you use? There's a host of over-the-counter creams. You want to ensure that the skin area is moisturized. Dryness of skin can also lead to hyperpigmentation. In fact, there is a specific cream on the market just for diabetics because the ceramides in it is specific to nutrifying the diabetic skin. Hope that answers your question.
All right, here's one. My husband's blood pressure is always high. He has a bowel movement about once every week and don't sleep for long and is losing weight even though he is eating regularly. He's reluctant to go to the doctor since he is afraid of what he has. I've been trying my best with him. What can I do?
So having a bowel action once every week is definitely something that I'm concerned about. I'm glad you said he's eating well, but we can increase the fiber. You can even add something called a Metamucil, which is an over-the-counter powder. It's non-flavored, no aroma, no flavor, so you can add it into the meals, and that certainly helps. They can also move to the point of a laxative. Now, when it comes to meals, they tend to be very particular about their health and very particular about their bowel habits, so he may not even be open about it. Continue to give that advice, give that counsel, give that support, and of course, if you can move him to seeing a healthcare professional, then I'm certain there will be a lot of resolution of these symptoms.
What about getting a doctor to probably make a house call? Is that possible?
Of course, there are many persons that do house calls as well. It is a little bit pricier than going to the health center, but if that's something the patient will consider and feel comfortable with, it's always an option. I'm glad that we've had so many callers, yes. So many messages during this 1 hour. Can you believe the hour is over?
It's all Did over. Your start? week is over as well too. It's Wednesday already.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
So here's where I say goodbye. Continue stay locked on. Enjoy the afternoon with Freedom, with Base, as he continues to bring you the issues of the nation. Join me back again on Monday for your lunchtime doctor.
All right, thank you there very much, Dr. Sophia Mohammed. You've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM. And don't forget, at 1:30 p.m. right here on Freedom 106.5, we will have the live coverage of the media review by the Minister of Finance, Colum Ember. And also check them out again. Check us out again at 7:30 p.m. on CNC3 and Freedom, where we bring you the mid-year budget review live show. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.